John chapter 1, if you brought your Bibles, your smartphone with your Bible in it. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Everybody say pay. Oh, come on now. I need your help. Everybody say pay it forward. My message today is pay it forward. I think it's up there, right there. Be our guest. Pay it forward. Today is all about preparing for next Sunday. It is preparation day. This is our opportunity to transform lives. We have the opportunity next Sunday to see lives transformed for the kingdom of God. So the question is kind of a random question, but it will all make sense in a second. Why do we celebrate Christmas? You don't have to answer that question, but think about it. Why do we celebrate Christmas? In fact, there's some people in Christianity that don't believe you should celebrate Christmas because it's not mentioned in the Bible, and so it shouldn't be a holiday or a holy day for us. In fact, we had someone when I pastored Life Church, he was really faithful, but when it came to December, he would disappear for 6 weeks, and he said he didn't believe in celebrating Christmas, so he wouldn't see him in church for 6 weeks, and he would come back right after that. Why do we celebrate Christmas? After all, it's not mentioned in the Bible, and most historians believe Jesus was actually born in September, not December, so we've missed the months. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Same token, why do we celebrate Valentine? Why do we do that? Why do we celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day? Well, let me tell you why we celebrate these things. Because we in our humanity tend to leak. We forget. We let the busyness of life and the craziness of life cloud us and distract us from the things that are important. We leak. We forget to honor those that we need to honor. Why do we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day? Because we should be doing that all the time. We as kids, all of us are kids. All of us have a mother or father. Some of them may have passed on before us, but we all had one. We have the opportunity to honor them, but we forget. So it's a special day that we remind ourselves and we reflect and we honor. Why don't we do Valentine's? Because it's a day for husbands and wives to be reminded of their love for each other and to invest in that love. These are the holidays. They remind us. They redirect us to the things that are important. They cause us to stop and to remember because the chaos of life causes us to leak. Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas? It reminds us at its foundation of why we're believers. At its core, the Bible says, God came to earth. He became Emmanuel, God with us. Why do I believe Christmas is important? Because it causes us to stop and remember what it's all about. BOG, Be Our Guest Sunday. Shouldn't we be sharing the gospel every day? Absolutely. Do we? Probably not. Because we let the chaos of life, the different things in life to distract us from what's most important. BOG Sunday is a day that we reflect back and focus on what's important. That is kingdom business. Because kingdom business is the most important business of all. Robin and I were talking this week. It's about legacy. It's about what's important, about leaving something behind. And the most important thing we can leave behind is sowing kingdom principles in people's lives, whether that's in our family, with our children, whether that's beyond them, pouring out godly principles, faith in Jesus Christ, giving people Jesus. Next Sunday is about refocus. It's about reaching people for Jesus. What I desire from you is that we have 100% of our church working overtime hard to reach someone who is unchurched and bringing them to Sunday morning. So point number one, bring one. Everybody say that. Say bring one. Bring one. Now, you've heard me say this over the last several weeks, but we could invite 300 people. You could go out and invite 300 people. You know how many of those 300 people will probably come? Probably zero. Because we want you to focus on one.
Now, we want you to give away tokens, and, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit will tug on their hearts, and maybe one of those will come. I think this is a great idea, and I'm going to forgot to pass those out, so I'm going to do that right now. These tokens, we want you to pass them out to 300 people, and it gets the word out, and it lets that go along, but we want you to, out of that, all of those 10, 20 tokens, we want you to focus on one or two families. It's not about packing our house out with 200-plus people, although that would be cool. Next Sunday is about praying and believing that we see, what if we saw 10 people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior next Sunday? What if we saw 20 people? And that comes with you bringing people. And that comes with you bringing a crowd. That comes with you bringing a number. Do you believe that we as a church could have 200 people here the next Sunday? I do. I believe we have a church of people that cares about people. I believe we have a church that's excited about what God's called us as Go Church to do, and we care about bringing people to see what God's called us to do, and that is so important about next Sunday. I think we can. I would say there's about 120, 130 people here this morning. And we normally run somewhere between 120 and 150 on a given Sunday. If everybody brought a family, we would have between 250 and 300 people here next Sunday. Our largest Sunday we've ever had is 211. That was our launch Sunday. I think we can do better than 211 next Sunday. Would y'all agree with that? Just say, that's right. I think we can do that. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Starting with verse 35, this is the text that Jesus is beginning to create his 12 disciples. He's beginning to call them to follow him, and it begins with John the Baptist in verse 35. And again, the next day, John, talking about John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Skip over to verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom from Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." John the Baptist directed people to Jesus, two people that were his disciples. He said, "This is the Lamb of God." And the Bible says they follow. Andrew invites Peter, his brother, to Jesus. In verse 43, Jesus finds and calls Philip. Philip, not wanting to hold this great news that he's found all on his own, he invites Nathanael. Now, and I know what Cedric would say, because Cedric's a big Whataburger guy, right, Cedric? You're a Whataburger man, right? So if you found out today, Cedric, that they were giving away free hamburgers at Whataburger, would you keep it to yourself or would you let a few people know? He would share it. If I found out that there were free groceries being given away at Walmart and they were just given away to random people, I would probably call a few of my close friends and let them know, hey, there's no line at Walmart and they're giving away free groceries. I'd probably let them know. We have the greatest message in the world. His name is Jesus. Why do we hold back that message? If we would tell people about Whataburger and Walmart, why don't we as a body of Christ make time to be intentional about loving people to Jesus? Think about that. John the Baptist spoke to two of his disciples. It was a simple invitation, and they followed Jesus. Philip invites Nathanael because Philip did not want to just hold the good news to himself. He wanted to tell other people, man, we have found the Messiah. We have found him. Come and see. And Nathanael, he had already gone on Google and looked up the statistics of Nazareth. And he saw the crime and he saw the issues that were going in the town. And he looks at Philip and he said, could anything good come out of that place? And Philip says, come and see. Maybe you have a friend that you're going to invite. In fact, Don and I just did this week. We invited a young man and we said, hey, bring someone with you. And he said, well, my friends aren't religious. He said, they have their own way. Could our answer be, come and see? Because we live in a world today that your next door neighbors are not necessarily Christian. It's a totally different world. Oftentimes their definition of Christianity is what they see on TV. Perhaps we need to say to them when they say, hey, I'm not religious or it's not my thing, could we not say, just come and see? Because what these disciples did, hear this context right here that I've just read this text. We were talking about four of the 12 disciples. Three of that four came and followed Jesus directly because of an individual, either a friend or a relative, invited them to follow Jesus. What if your simple invitation would eventually lead not only them to Jesus, but their whole family to Jesus? I've heard crazy stories where one individual gets saved, and within 6 months, like 40 family members get saved. What if your outreach? I heard someone in our congregation talk about inviting someone that they've been inviting them for 18 years, and they came, loving people to Jesus. You know, when we're back in Belize in November, I will do the wedding, the 10-year anniversary wedding of Terrence and Andrea Punjabi. They're the associate pastors there. And I met with them this week via Skype to talk about the wedding and talk about all the details of the wedding. And so I'll be doing it. And they said, Pastor Lee, it's so important that you're coming for this wedding. And they said, it's so important that you and Robin will be there because our life is transformed because what Jesus did through you. Let me give you a little background about Terrence and Andrea. They got married in a courthouse, but this is going to be their official wedding on their 10th anniversary. I met Terrence and Andrea in April before we actually moved there in February, and I saw them, and I was all excited about planning a church, and I told them about planning a church, and Andrea said, yes, we're interested. We want to go, and the husband said, yeah, why not? But he told everybody he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God anymore. He kind of had a crazy life for the last few years, and he was kind of done with this God stuff. But the time that I met him, he sensed inside of him that something big was about to change in his life. Robin and I meet with him on February. I think we met with him actually February 3rd. We moved February 2nd to Belize. We go into the restaurant. We meet with him February 3rd. And Andrea sees us and she said, where have y'all been? We've been looking all over you. We invited him to our house. The following week, they came over our house. And Terrence began to share. He said, all I know, I feel something inside of me is about to change big time. He gives his heart to Jesus. He is the very first convert of LifeNet Church. Today, he is the associate pastor of that church, doing a marvelous work. All because one person, two people, gave a simple invitation to invite them over their house and to share Jesus with them. What could a simple invitation do for your family member and your friend that you've been wanting to find Jesus? You've heard me do this before. I've done it many times, but it's so effective. It's so important to do it again. If you came to Jesus because you went to a crusade, you saw a tent on the side of the freeway, and you just pulled over, and you attended a meeting there, and you got radically saved. Or maybe you turned on a television set. Nobody invited you to that tent revival. Nobody invited you to the television set. You just turned it on. You heard some evangelist preaching the gospel, and you gave your heart to Jesus. Or maybe you were driving down the road. You saw a church, and you just pulled in, and you got saved. That nobody invited you. It was totally on your own. If you came to Jesus that way, raise your hand. Normally, there's one or two. Anybody? Anybody? Now, watch this. You went to that crusade because your friend or relative invited you. You went to that church because your friend or relative invited you. You may have turned on that television set because someone invited you. You came and visited that church because someone in relationship with you invited you, and you found Jesus there. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Come on now. Look at that. I grew up in a home that we went to church every Sunday morning as a family. My mom probably went to church more than we did on night services and things. And I remember she would come home and she would tell me, she goes, Lee, there was an evangelist at church tonight, and this is what he was sharing about the Lord. And man, I heard the gospel from my mom probably 100 times. Every time she would share it with me, I would give my heart to Jesus. But as an 8-year-old child, I remember sitting in my bedroom giving my heart to Jesus. Right after that, I was baptized in water. All because my mom gave me a simple invitation. Moms and dads, that's why it's so important for you to give your children Jesus. Not just verbally, but they need to see it lived out, because it's better caught than taught. So important that you give your children Jesus. And beyond moms and dads, it is so important that we as a church give someone this week a simple invitation to bring them to hear the gospel. Next Sunday is all about sharing the gospel with unchurched people. And I use the word unchurched because some of those may have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Others may have heard that presentation of the gospel, made a decision when they were 7 or 8 or 25, but have walked away, and next Sunday is going to be their Sunday to come back, because kingdom business is very important business. God wants us to partner with Him. There's this phrase that I have heard many, many times. It's let me see if I can get it right. Without God, we cannot. Without man, God chooses not. Meaning we must rely on the power and presence of God to be effective in what He has called us to do. But for some odd, strange reason, we have a God that desires to partner with you. And you say, man, I'm messed up. I've got flaws. God knows that. He's God. And He says, I want to partner with you to reach your community for Jesus. Next Sunday is all about bringing one or two families to hear the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are so important. Go ahead and say that. Say, you are so important in reaching people for Jesus. Tell your friend, come and see. Number two this morning, pay it forward. Say, pay it forward. I have a video right now I'd like you to watch. It's about 3 minutes long. It's based from the movie Pay It Forward, but it's in reflection of the gospel. And I think it's pretty powerful. Go for it.
Have you ever seen the movie Pay It Forward? A teacher gives his class of seventh graders an assignment. Think of an idea to change our world and put it into action. One student has a plan. That's me. And that's three people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something they can't do for themselves. something so big, they can't pay me back. They can only pay it forward. So they do that for 3 other people. That's 9. And they do 3 more. That's 27. And it gets really big, really fast. That's exactly what the disciples did with the message of Jesus. Andrew met Jesus, and Jesus changed his world. It was big, so big, he could never pay him back, could only pay it forward. The Bible says the first thing Andrew did was go to get his brother Peter and bring him to Jesus. Philip met Jesus, and Jesus changed his world. Philip went and got Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. That is how the church grew, one person at a time, paying it forward to one person at a time. And it got really big, really fast. That is how the church grows. A person meets Jesus and goes and gets his friends and brings them back to meet Jesus. Because the church isn't a building or a worship service or an outreach event. It's the people. And the way it grows is one person to another. It's about relationship. Relationship with God and with each other. So the only way to share the gospel is in relationship. Authentic relationship. One person to another. One sinner to another. If you have met Jesus and your world has been changed, pay it forward.
Yeah, you can clap. That's how the New Testament church happened. That's how Jesus has called it to happen today. Powerful ending to that video. If you've met Jesus and your world has been changed, pay it forward. How many of y'all know Bill Maher? He's a comedian / atheist / talk show host. Only 2 of y'all? Yeah, 3 of y'all. Thank y'all. Appreciate that in the back row. Yes, there's a few more now. Bill Maher is no friend to Christianity. He's no friend. But he has a profound statement about us, and I'd like to read it to you. He said, Christians truly do not believe what they say they believe. He said that Christians say they believe in a separation from God if one does not know God. Christians say they believe in a heaven or hell, he says, but they do not truly believe these things, because if they truly did, they would be sharing the truth with those they love. Powerful words coming from an atheist. I think Jesus just used Bill Maher to speak to the body of Christ. It's important for us to reflect. If we truly believe it, pretty powerful statement. When I was a kid, there was a Christian musician named Keith Green. Anybody remember him? I loved his music. He died in 1984 of a plane accident. His music is still relevant in so many people's lives. Just a powerful guy. And one of the things I loved about Keith Green, he wasn't perfect. He had a temper. He would blow up and have to just really make it right. And anyway, he wrote a song that said, "It's only because I want to see you there." And it was a song to his mom and dad. And he said, "Mom and Dad, I know you get angry when I try to talk to you about Jesus." And the chorus says, "But it's only because I want to see you there." When I was 20 years old, I was in Bible college, and I went home. And my grandfather was probably at that time in his late 70s or 80s. He had never accepted Jesus Christ. And I went down, and I remember sitting in his bedroom on his bed, and I played him that song. And I said, "Granddad, I only share this, not because I want to make you angry, just because I want to see you there." And I remember my grandfather looking at me straight in the eyes, and he said, I know you do, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, I just can't accept your Jesus. 10 years later, at 84 years old, my grandfather, in the midst of just a Sunday where they were singing, got out and walked down the aisles and gave his heart to Jesus. Because people prayed for him, and because multiple people gave him a simple invitation to accept Jesus. My grandfather's in heaven because not just me, multiple people loved him enough, truly believed in a heaven and hell, that we would speak the truth to him. Bill Maher has something to teach us. I'm not asking you to march down the street and hold up a banner and tell everybody they're going to hell. We see that happen every once in a while. I think that repulses more people than helps people. If you disagree, that's okay. That's my opinion. I don't think it's always very effective, and I've told you the story about a guy, and when I was in my first church right out of Bible college, he went to the high school football game, and he would pass out tracts at the football game, and when someone would reject it, he would speak in tongues really loud, kind of rebuking them in tongues, and I'm thinking I was with him, and I quickly moved like 30 feet away. I did not want to be identified with him because the people were not like, ooh, this is a lover of Jesus. He's a sweet guy. The people are going, that's a freak, and I don't want to be like him. I'm not asking you to walk down the street and tell everybody they're going to hell, but what I am asking you in your relationship with you, at people at work, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, I'm asking you to love them in such a way they see Jesus. I'm asking you to give them simple invitations and be prepared to answer, to lead them to Jesus. My friends, it is that important for us as a church. It is that important that we consider the fate of those we love, because we live in a world like never before that needs Jesus. I am convinced he is the only hope. We live in a world where everything is truth. If that's what you believe, that's how it is. And it is truly messing things up greatly. Jesus is the answer. You have an opportunity next Sunday to refocus on what's important. Luke chapter 10:2 says, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. Who are the laborers in a purely agricultural setting? When it's harvest time, everybody goes out and works in the fields. In the context of church, every believer goes out in the fields and works. It is our responsibility to do the work for the kingdom. All of us. Not just the pastor. You heard me tell the story of the first church that Robin and I pastored. My very last Sunday, a guy by the name of John came up to me, and I remember I could visualize him. I told this story about 6 weeks ago. He was holding his baby girl, which is now probably 22 years old. But he remembers, and he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, you did something today in your message. He said, for the first time, I realize it's my responsibility to share my faith with people. A part of me, I wanted to slap him and ask him where he's been for 4 years. I have preached this message for 4 years in this church. This is my last Sunday here. Why did it take you so long? Another part of me, I wanted to kiss him on the cheek and say, "Woo!" I think I just shook his hand. But I wanted to celebrate. It may have took him 4 years, but he finally got it. That's for us today. Catch, it is our job to be in the harvest field. Next Sunday is BOG Sunday. I talked to Hilda. Hilda, you had talked to somebody you're going to be inviting. You don't have to say the name, but.
Yes, I've invited people at work, and I've invited my brother-in-law. And on Friday, our GO group's going to pass out the chips in the Brandon neighborhood.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, come on now. Now I'm going to be inviting my next door neighbor, be praying for her and her kids. Don and I invited our brand new landlord. We said, hey, and I looked at him, I said, you know, you were raised Catholic. And he said, yes, he's from Mexico. And he said, yes. He said, but my wife's been going to that church called Lakewood Church. And he said, they don't pray like we did growing up. He said, I've been going. And he said, my whole family will be there for BOG Sunday. So I'm going to pray and continue to get a better commitment this week for Fernando Mena, our new landlord. Wouldn't it be cool if we had our landlord in the kingdom of God with us? That'd be kind of cool. Don, you're bringing some people to BOG?
Yes, I am. Neighbors, relatives.
Like all your new neighbors are like coming, right? They are coming over the Don and asking if he would help them do things. And he says, by the way, will you come to BOG Sunday? Where do you go to the church? Just talked to like a 33-year-old neighbor this week or a couple of days ago that's supposed to be coming. Had a guy in his house building doors, I believe, right? Created a conversation with him, invited him to BOG Sunday. Rick and Carla aren't here today. They let me know they would miss, but he told me, he said, Pastor, I went to my three neighbors. All three of them said they wanted to come on BOG Sunday. What? Anybody else get a commitment? Cedric? What? Do you want to share? You don't have to share their name, but do you want to share just... I have a lady that attends a different church. She runs a ministry in town. She called me this week and said, hey, what time's your church? Because I have a friend looking for a church I want to bring her. And I said, well, this Sunday would be okay, but BOG would be even better. And so I think she's coming. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, go ahead. That's cool. All right. Ushers, could I give you these? I don't know where they're right here. Could everybody take one of these? Everybody take one of these? I think there's, I don't know how many there are there. On it's just really simple. It says, I am bringing blank on BOG Sunday. The Lord's put somebody on your heart. You may have invited them yet. We're not going to call out their name in front of everybody, but I would like you to write their name as a point of contact for prayer, because before we leave here today, we're going to pray for all these families that will be going to be coming. So how do we do this? How do we do this for next Sunday? Number one, please pray about who you want to invite, who you want to bring. Ask Jesus to give you the time, the right words to invite them. Now, hear me. Don't just call them or text them and say, hey, you want to go to church on Sunday? And they say, yeah, I guess I will. And that will be the end of the story, because the likelihood of them coming will probably, they probably won't come. I would ask that you to do, if it's possible for you to see them in person, and get a firm commitment. And Hilda says, hey, I'll think about it, and say, hey, I know I'm kind of picking on you kind of hard, but I don't want to think about it. I want a yes. Will you yes to me? And they're like, yes. Give a firm commitment, because if they say they're going to think about it means I ain't going, but I don't want to tell you that to your face. Get a firm commitment. You know, also, I would love for you to go out of your way, go pick them up, because statistics say if you say, meet me at the building, 50% of them won't come. But if you say, I will be at your house at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to pick you and your family up, can I count on you to be there? They will say, yes. Go the extra mile and invite them to dinner. Man, I'm making some Walmart lasagna. I'm making some spaghetti or some Little Caesars $5 pizzas after church. Would you come over my house and we will eat together? You don't even have to worry about lunch after service because I want to feed you and your family. Go the extra mile. After church on, I'll get there. This week, I guarantee you'll get an email from me. I guarantee I will text you. I guarantee I'll put it out on Facebook. You're going to hear all about BOG Sunday all week long. Once they're here, don't just hide them to yourself. Go and introduce them to your friends. Go and introduce them to the people in your go group. Connect them to the circle of influence. A term we used to use is your oikos, your circle of influence, your household, your family around you, that you connect them to a larger group. After church next Sunday, we're going to have cupcakes together and just have a short fellowship time where we can connect with people. We as a church will follow up on them. And then lastly, bring them back for family fun day so they can spend a whole time just having fun with the body of Christ, connecting in relationships. We're going to have barbecue, moon jumps, games, etc. Faith West starts at 10 o'clock. It's called the Hidden Lake because it's behind the ball field. If you don't know it's there, you would never know it's there, if that makes any sense. It's a hidden lake for sure. So, we're going to do altar call a little bit different this morning. We're not going to do a traditional altar call. And if you're a visitor with us, I hope you don't feel awkward about this. We're going to break into small groups and two or three people. And we're just going to talk about this. One question, who will you bring? Who will you bring? And I tell you, well, we want you to bring unchurched people. Now, the deacon at First Baptist Church, it's been a deacon at First Baptist Church for the last 30 years. He loves Jesus with all his heart. We're so glad he loves Jesus with all his heart. And we don't want him to go to church. Not because we don't like him, just because God wants him where he's at. We want you to invite an unchurched person. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've been plugged in 10 years, but God has released me, and I'm looking around, you have permission to invite them. But we're really looking for unchurched people to reach out to. And I want you in this small group of three or four people that you gather in just a second, I want you to ask the question. I want you to share. You don't necessarily have to share their name if you don't want to, but just say, hey, my neighbor, my friend, who are you planning to invite? Secondly, share any special thing you will do to get them here. I'm planning on going to pick them up. I'm definitely having them over my house for some Little Caesar $5 pizzas afterwards. Whatever it is, what am I doing? What am I doing beyond just, hey, you want to come? How am I going the extra mile? So who am I bringing? How am I going the extra mile to get them? And thirdly, what are my fears? Man, I'm scared to talk to this person because, you know, last time I invited them for lunch and they didn't come. So, you know, how do I bring this up again? What are your fears? Let us pray about those things. Man, my uncle, you know, he's an atheist and, you know. Man, my aunt, she loves Jesus. I'm afraid she's going to get up in the middle of church and start preaching. You know, I'm just a little scared of her coming. So, you know, what are your fears, you know, about bringing that person? So, you got those questions? Who it is? How are you going the extra mile? And what are your fears? And the ushers, Patricia, if you would pass out those boxes and pick up all of those blue, they're just going to go around and pick up all the blues. And before we leave, we're going to pray together for all of those. Would you break in the groups of threes and fours and just answer those three questions and then pray together?
Everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak loud. Speak loud.
tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak loud.
All right, we're going to give you about 3 more minutes, and then I will pray and let you go. Does anybody have a piece of paper you haven't turned in yet? Raise your hand. All right. Way to go, Cynthia. I see that hand. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Anybody? All right. All right. Anybody else? Oh, here's one. I see that hand. Good job. Good job, sir. All right. Could I have your attention? We're going to pray over these. We're going to pray over these. We're going to believe that a family from each of y'all are going to come next week. We're going to see over 200 people here, but the most exciting thing, we're going to sing over 10 salvations next Sunday. Can y'all agree with me on that? Amen. So would you stretch your hands out to all of these names and families? Father, we pray over these piece of papers, but they're representative of people's lives, God. Father, some of these names in here, the people in this room have been praying for 10, 20 years for, God. Some of these are the workmates that they just barely know, but they're going to invite them, God. Some of these are relatives. Some of these are friends. Some of these are neighbors, God. And Father, we pray that next Sunday for Be Our Guests, they would be our guests. They would feel loved. They would feel Jesus in this place, and they would be drawn to you. And we pray for our crowd, but more importantly than the crowd, we pray that men and women would give their hearts to Jesus on next Sunday, Father. Father, we look forward to that day. We celebrate with you, Father. We know all of heaven will be rejoicing for their salvation, God. And we join with you in that chorus, God. Father, we want to do our part and being your vessel, your ambassador to go out. Father, give us the strength, the boldness, the timing, the right words to invite them and to go the extra mile to ensure that they would be here, God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, God bless you. See you next Sunday or see you at night of worship.